into glorious. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Jesus said, the greatest among you will be the servant of the rest. Susan Anderson has written the book, The Path to Servant Leadership. And what is the subtitle, Susan?
12-month guide to implementation.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for being here and a part of the show. Looks like, is that your home? It looks very lovely with all the white trim. Where are you geographically?
I'm about an hour northeast of Atlanta.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So are you a Southern girl or?
I got here as fast as I could. No, I grew up in the Midwest in the Chicago suburbs. I moved to Florida in 67 and Georgia in 97.
Where'd you move to in Florida?
The West Coast near Clearwater.
Oh, my grandmother used to live in Dunedin.
Oh, yeah. We had our boat there.
Yeah. Well, listen, welcome to our show. And you've written a book about servant leadership. Jesus did say the greatest among you will be the servant of the rest. Is this book essentially, did you target CEOs or management or?
Yeah, my avatar is middle market companies. And to change the corporate culture from a top-down autocratic style of leadership to servant leadership usually requires a CEO's initiative. So typically that they're my customer, the CEOs, C-suite leaders from time to time.
Well, I'm very excited about that because, just because Jesus said the greatest among you would be the servant of the rest. And, it's amazing when you see somebody who has that attitude of serving his people. You know, Eldon Auker became my neighbor in Vero Beach, Florida years ago. He was the last guy to have pitched against Babe Ruth. He won one World Series and lost another World Series, but he was with the Tigers, Eldon Auker, the famous pitcher. Well, when he retired from baseball, he started a corporation, and he was the first one that took the triangle, which said, you know, the leaders at the top, the CEO, then the middle management, and then down at the bottom were the salesperson, and below them were the customer.
You read my book.
He turned the chart upside down and said, I'm last. And, you know, it's true. Tell us, who is Susan Anderson that you should write this book? What are you all about?
Well, I've spent 30 years coaching CEOs and C-suite leaders. And when I ran my own businesses, it wasn't well defined at the time, but the model was servant leadership. After I had written my first book, I thought I was going to write another book to Christian leaders. And I realized that servant leadership applies to anybody in a leadership role.
Well, over the years, I was on a secular station. I'm now on a Christian station, but I was on a secular station and I felt ill at ease bringing up the Lord because, you can talk about human body parts like Mr. Stern, and you'll get no reaction. But if you bring up the name of Jesus, they find it offensive. It's a strange thing in this world. But did you weave anything about the Lord in it, or did you
Oh, yes. In the introduction, when I'm talking about what servant leadership is, Jesus washing the feet of his disciples is the perfect example. An autocratic leadership tells everybody what to do. And a servant leadership empowers and inspires. And definitely Jesus fit that role.
Say that again about the two leadership styles.
Okay. An autocratic leadership tells people what to do.
Yeah.
You manage people rather than lead people. And Jesus inspired and empowered his people.
Wow. I would love to learn that. They say in sales, if you can make the other person think that they made the decision up themselves, somehow leaving it to them, it empowers them.
Yeah.
What a great art to cultivate. So will your book help a person like me, as well as many others, differentiate between those two?
Certainly from an informational standpoint, yes, the book was written to be a standalone roadmap for those people who realize, and my target is middle market companies who are 5 to 15 years old, under 5 years old, they haven't discovered that they've gone off the rails yet. And after 15 years, their problems have started to rust in place. So it makes a little bit more of a bumpy ride. Well, the book was written for people who wanted to change their corporate culture to a model of servant leadership. I recognized very quickly that there are going to be a lot of leaders who want to do this, but don't have the time or resources to do it themselves. And so they would hire me as a consultant to oversee the change process. And it takes a year.
It takes a year. Yep. Autocratic. Yeah, autocratic. So that's a pejorative term, according to you. It's probably the reason I've never worked for anybody else, because I don't like somebody oppressing me. Yet I once in a while I'll run into somebody and say, now there's a guy or there's a gal I could have worked with. And I guess so that, but I did not quite understand why. And I don't like being an autocratic boss. I make a terrible boss. I'm a creative person. And I've had to learn that the people working with me, like Noah, the engineer, at first I thought he and all these other people were working for me. And then I realized, first of all, I don't want them working for me. I want to work with them, and I want them to work with me.
Yeah. My newsletter is titled The Benevolent Boss.
And yet, you know what amazes me is sometimes I've seen such compassion in authority that perhaps I would have not seen. Not that I lack compassion, but a certain person in a situation, and they can be tender-hearted.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about, I know we're going to go over this briefly. What I do hope is we'll do this interview today, and then I have not read your book. I would love to read it, and then I'd like to have maybe in the late fall or early next year, I would love to do an in-depth hour with you about this. I think this is so important. And these are also applicable to pastors and evangelists, right? You've got some guys.
Definitely. I don't know whether I'll actually publish as a separate book, but I do have an outline for pastors leading churches who want to change their leadership style. And I want to defend the autocratic leader for a minute. You talked about the pyramid or the triangle. You know, when somebody decides that they want to go into business for themselves, and they're sitting at the kitchen table with a scratch pad and outlining what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, when they launch a business, it won't be too very long before they hire some senior managers who will divide the workflow. And as the business grows and develops, those senior managers will hire middle managers who hire frontline workers. And the frontline workers are the ones that have the most contact with the customers and clients. And as the company grows, the frontline workers feel like the guys at top don't even know my name. Mm. And so at about 5 years, they realize that they've lost touch with their passion. And that's when they flip the leadership model upside down. And the CEO is now down at the bottom, and he's empowering those who are in front of him. And of course, the senior leaders and middle managers need to embrace that change to make it effective.
So what you're saying is, instead of being on the get, they'd be turned around, invert it, and go on the give. Isn't it funny that the Lord's principles are inverted to what we think is the right way of doing things in this world? How miserable is the boss that dictates, as opposed to the one that learns the value of giving his wisdom to others?
Well, you have to realize that 46% of our workforce are millennials and Gen Zs. And Gen Z is just entering the workforce. So that number of 46% is going to change. Well, they can't tolerate an autocratic leadership. They can't tolerate being pushed around. I tell the story of Flynn. Flynn is a barista, and he works in I won't name the name, but he works in a large coffee shop. And he loves his job. He loves his customers, and everybody enjoys coming in there and talking to Flynn. And a leader who was attending a seminar asked him if he liked his job. And Flynn said, "I love my job." And the speaker said, "Well, what is it you love about it?" And he says, "Well, the managers will come around and they'll say, 'Flynn, how are you doing today? Is there anything I can do to help you make your job better?'" And he loves his job. He also works at another coffee shop, and he hates his job. And he goes in and he keeps his head down, and he doesn't really meet the eye of the customers, and he doesn't do a lot of side talking. And his managers there try to catch him doing something wrong. And so the customer experience with Flynn in the large coffee shop is a very different customer experience of the other coffee shop. And the difference is servant leadership.
Yeah, well, they say a fish stinks from the head down. Recently, I went into a very upscale restaurant, and I knew immediately that the people were so kind and so friendly and enjoying themselves. And then I met Scott, who is the manager, and I could see immediately why. He was there. I mean, just he has that servant leadership attitude. It was not oppressive. It was not dominant. Why is it that the young people today, this new generation coming up, I understand that they'll apply for a job, but they'll say that money's not the most important thing, is that they want to leave a footprint, which I find very admirable.
Yeah, they look for work-life balance. They look for ethics and trust, and they look for the company having a positive impact on the world around them.
They look for ethics and trust.
Yeah. Yeah, transparency is very important to them, and you cannot have transparency without trust.
I guess if somebody out there is watching this, I guess some of us are not made to be bosses, though, because whenever I think about being an authority, I cringe. It's just such an effort and a burden. I don't want to be in charge. I even told one of my engineers 20 years ago, I said, "You should actually be the boss." You know, and I said, "Leader, you can't expect leadership from a non-leader. Some of us are just not born, or we don't. Maybe we're not subjected to somebody who is a good boss that we can then imitate. How important is that?"
It's critical. It's so critical. You know, our leaders are dealing with employee disengagement, quiet quitters, and high turnover.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Failures wash away, but I'm sinking, sinking. The tide is rising above my